praise the Lord tonight. Let's be seated, please. Thank you so much for believing in me. And I tell you that because God, the mighty one, lives inside me, you will not leave this place the same in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, as I've always said, I want to say thank you to the Bristol Church. If you have not done the work, there is no way I can come and sit on anything. You've laid the foundation. I'm just here to build on that foundation. And your hope will not be disappointed tonight. Amen. We have been looking at the theme of this conference, killing the little foxes. But before the little foxes, there are main foxes. When you read that book of Ecclesiastes chapter 2, could you put it on the screen, please, because I want to read it as it is. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Yes. Oh, where is it? Let somebody read it for me, 2:15. Ecclesiastes 2:15. You have the microphone so that it can be part of the Ecclesiastes 2:15. Yes. Is this on the screen now? Okay. Okay. Yes. It says then. No, sorry, Songs of Solomon. You should have corrected me because I'm reading Ecclesiastes recently. So you should have corrected me. Sorry about this. Songs of Solomon, or Songs of Songs, chapter 2, verse 15. He says, catch for us the little foxes, the foxes, foxes, underline that foxes. Then he said, the little foxes. So there are two main foxes mentioned here, little and the foxes, that ruins the vineyard. The vineyard are vineyards that are in blossom. That is our lifestyle, our way of life, the life that God created. He said, we are beautifully and wonderfully made. That beautiful life that God has given to us, that beautiful body that God has given to us. He said, if we don't kill these foxes, both the big foxes and the little foxes, they will kill this beautiful body. That is what he's saying. So we from yesterday, you have understood with me that we have been killing these foxes. Those of you that have that message, I'm killing my own fox. And I know that you are killing your foxes as well. So, and I explained to us the main foxes, which are worldliness, number one, or number one, satanic influences, and Satan himself. Then worldliness, then parental upbringing, the way we are brought up by our parents. God delivered us from the kingdom of darkness into his wonderful kingdom of light. But by the time we came into this world, we just neglect God because the world has filled our life, Satan has filled our life, and our parents are not of good example. So we start to have different various foxes. When we have these three main foxes, they will give birth to all these other foxes, which are laziness, another one, pride. I might not be able to mention everything. You might know more than me, but these are the ones that God put in my mind now, which are greed. And today we'll be looking at that greed as well. That is the main thing I'm going to end up with tonight, which are jealousy, anger, lust, fit of rage, discord, selfish ambition or self-centeredness, lose of tongues, talk anyhow, dissensions, factions, sexual immorality or immorality, tongues, controlling or taming your tongues. Keep your tongue from speaking guy. These are the foxes. But God will help us as we hear and listen to one of the foxes that I'm going to deliberate on. Tonight, we are going to deliberate on this fox, one of these foxes that we need to catch so that our lives will be restored back in Jesus' name. There are two main foxes that I want to discuss here. The foxes of greed. Under that greed, you have envy, you have jealousy, you have anger, you have rage. All these together are in one group. And I'm also going to deliberate on the foxes of giving as I'm talking to the church. These are the two main ones that God will want us to look into. Hence that scripture, I'm going to talk about Cain and Abel. We all know this story because the things I'm going to be telling us, they are regular things that have come about all the time. Cain and Abel. Genesis chapter 4, 1 to 16. Adam laid with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." As any woman that is pregnant, we always thank God. After going through all these pregnancy stages, those of you that are not there yet, don't think about it when you're not ready for it. Especially when you get to that sixth month, going to 7, 8, till you give birth, you see that you cannot sleep like you normally sleep anymore. You sleep this way, go carry pillow. Those of you that are rude to your parents, you better go and beg for forgiveness tonight. Forks of rudeness. Mothers go through a lot. The pain is too much that you cannot afford to respect your mother. Are you listening to me? You cannot afford to respect your father. Not that the fathers are not there. But you know the Bible says fathers instruct, they just tell you what to do and they're gone. But mothers will take time to be teaching you. This has started from pregnancy. Take time, restlessness, and all the rest of that. So according to this scripture that we are reading tonight, he said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." As any woman that gives birth will be able to be thankful to God. So if you bring forth a man, then you're happy. The man is going to get married and produce more children. So this is a statement of comfort that Abel said to God. Later, she gave birth to his brother, Abel. So Cain was the firstborn. Then the secondborn was Abel. Now Abel kept flock. Abel, the secondborn, is a shepherd. In those days, they have profession. When Pharaoh, Joseph left Egypt and wanted to come to Pharaoh and brought all his people during the time of famine in Egypt, and they came to Pharaoh. Pharaoh was asking them, "What is your profession? What job do you do?" He said, "We all are fellow shepherds." So in those days, they are used to shepherding. That is what they do. So this Abel, the second born, is shepherd. Don't forget. And what does shepherd do? They kept flocks. Cow, goat, different kinds of things. And they are millionaires in those days. Go to outside London. We are outside London, Bristol. Go to visit a shepherd in this area. You will know that even if you are earning 100 million, you can't stand them. They live in posh houses. They have fresh breeze. They have nice canal around them that they used to feed their. So everything around them is posh. Someone, the shepherd, I thought it's just bringing the cow to the road and or to the grass. No, it's more than that. They don't sleep. They have sleepless nights. A lot of us are lazy. This fox of laziness has to be cast out of us. I never knew that shepherds don't sleep. We were all sleeping because they have apartment for guests. In our guest apartment there, and they have their forefathers' houses that they've kept till this person's turn. So we learn about how they pass on their trade and everything. And in the midnight that we were sleeping, one of the cows was giving birth. You know, they have this milk. I can't tell you much. I want you to understand about this Abel. That's why I'm explaining it to you. That's why God took me to know this thing. So we were busy sleeping. We woke up in the morning and come this shepherd just what is the milk, those things that they are going to use to milk the cow. It's a hard work. It's not easy work. Are you working? You're only on the computer. You sit down there. Which is telling on all of us. But these people, they wake up, they give too much into what God has given to them. And this man, woke up, milked the cow, and he told us, he said, "Do you know that I didn't sleep in the till morning?" Why? Because one of the cows was giving birth. The cow that owned a lot of cows, you know. One of them was giving birth. That's why I did not sleep. So it's not just ordinary milking. Some they do for milking, some they do for produce and everything. But the sheep abroad and everything. And the second one, Cain, walked the soil, a farmer. Farmers, to eat your potato, French fries, yeah, they fry. You just go there. They are, thank God for English people. They even bagged it for you. In Africa, you don't bag it, or you go and take it fresh. And then that's why you see various shapes. When they are on your plate, they look so beautiful, isn't it? So it's a lot of work. There are some people from that field, they now have other apartments that they are doing, the cutting of the chiefs, everything, making them into different things. That's how God bless these people. So they are people of class. That we might see them this day with their boots and all these dirty clothes and everything, but come in the evening when they go to eat, they are in tie. They look so fresh and green. They look corporate. They don't look like smelling the goat, and you won't see the foot on a very beautiful perfume to bring their body back. How much more we walk in the city and everything. We are sweating. You can even smell the sweat of some people. But these people, though they are farmer and shepherd. So Abel was a shepherd, and Cain was a farmer. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Some of the fruit of the soil. Tithing it to the Lord. Brought it as an offering in the job that you do. From out of the produce that God has given to them, they give to God. What do you give to God? Out of what God has blessed you. Give tithe. You know, we're talking about this. That's why I picked this very one to discuss about it tonight. Out of the produce, what do you give to God out of what God has blessed you with? Apart from tithing, we give offering. Apart from giving offering, we help one another in the church. Some people, it's only me and my family. Is that you in the house? Put that question mark and look at yourself. Do you make provision? You know, to look in the church. People that are in need. It's not that they needed it that you should give to them. They have enough to eat. They have enough. But there are some times that you come out of your own means. You support the work of the Lord. The Luke 8 women were working with Jesus. And everything that Jesus needed, they're always making provision for it. How do you make provision for all the things? Out of your own means, do you make such provision? So in that verse 3 of that chapter 4, it said, in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portion from some of the firstborn of his flock, underline that word, firstborn, tithing, the best of the best. You know, but said, this one does bring some of the fruits, the farmer of his flock. The Lord looked down with favor, underline, the day God made me to understand this word, the Lord looked down with favor. May God look down with favor on your offering. Amen. I'm preparing you tonight so I can kill that fox, that stingy fox that will not make you give to one another. That stingy fox that will not make you give to God. That stingy fox, stingy attitude, me attitude. After all, God knows that this is what you have. No, after all, you know, if you cannot go beyond that you have, you have not gotten there yet. You need to kill this fox. So Abram brought fat portion. Look at that adjective used to say fat, not ordinary fat, not ordinary. But Cain brought ugly things from the soil. Maybe the potato that is rotten, the potato that did not grow well, the ugly one, not the best of the best. You know, I used to go to Methodist before I was changed to Pentecostal when I met my husband. Methodist, we have harvest time. We do harvest. Out of the best, we have to bring. My parents don't go to church. Some of you that your parents are not in church, I feel sorry, but I don't feel sorry because you have parents here in this church. Other parents, will come with their children, they'll be doing things. But thank God for my mom. When I say it's harvest time in my church, she will prepare the best, even though she doesn't go to church with me. She will prepare, blessed memory, the best of the best. And give it to me, both offering and anything they ask us to bring. And when I got to England, I see that even in England, yeah, they do the same thing. They tell you students in school to bring the dry stores, you know, those things that will not spoil during the harvest time. Those of you that goes to the Anglican Church, Church of England churches, that's why my children. So when it's harvest time, what my mom did to me, I do to my children. When I go shopping in the grocery, you would think maybe I'm buying the whole Tesco or anything. Because I want my children for other people to see them, and other people will see what I'm doing, and they will also do. So the best of the best is what I'm talking about. Abel brought Fat portions. Underline that word. Fat portion. From the firstborn of his flocks. The Lord looked down with favor on Abel and his offering. Not only on the offering. Guess what? God is not only looking at the offering. He's looking at the offering to judge your giving attitude. But he's looking down in your own heart. Your attitude, your character. These are the things that are going to kill tonight. Your wife wants to do something. It's too much. Your husband wants to do something. It's too much. We can't do that. You are the one. So God is going to kill that attitude. Because with that attitude, God will not bless. But on Cain and his offering, it did not look with favor. May that not be you in the name of Jesus. So Cain was very angry. You can see, stinginess gave birth to anger. Because God did not look with favor. So he was angry. Another fox was produced. Fox of greed produced fox of anger. It will continue to multiply like that. Then he says, and his face was downcast. Bring sadness. Another fox that make you look sad all the time. Is it only you? Everybody is bubbling. I don't know what is making them to be happy. Is it what Apostle Lenz is doing? Is it what Mamiwa is doing? Is it not what you're... You know, so give back to other foxes. Envy. Do you understand what I'm saying? All this continue to multiply. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Thank God that they can hear God directly in those days. But sometimes, if you are full of God, God will talk to you by the Spirit. So in the case of Cain, say, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, if you do what is right, say to the Lord, I will do what is right. Say, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? Will your offering not be accepted? Because you do wrong things. That's why God is not looking with favor on your own offering. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? Will your offering not be accepted? Because he said, he looks on you and your offering. But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. What was that sin? Anger. It's already crouching anyway. He desires to have you. But you must master it. Say you must master it. I got this word from Apostle William. When he's preaching this one, I got it from his preaching. I say, master it. That word master it. You better master it today so I can kill the foxes. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let us go out to the field. Gives back to deception. He has a bad mind. At the field, he wants to kill his brother. But his brother did not know. Out of a simple heart. May God grant you the grace to discern.
Amen.
So now God said to his brother Abel, let us go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother. That's murder. Another fox. And killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? I don't know, he said. Or he replied, am I my brother's keeper? Sin against God as well here. Attitude problem. I don't know. You know, there are ways that you say, there are some good words, there are some bad words. I don't know. Is that my business? That kind of I don't know attitude. I don't know. He replied, am I my brother's keeper? Do you put him in charge of me? Or what's my business about that? Anger came up. Another fox. Anger times double, 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 double. Number 10, the Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Sometimes we don't need to take that knife and kill people. We don't need to take that knife, but there are ways that you murder people with your mouth, you destroy them. With your look, you destroy them. With your attitude, character problem, you destroy them. You don't need knife at all. He said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. And when you talk at people's back, their blood still cries. Destroy people at their back. And you go, hello, how are you? You are the best. But you are done, their blood still cries. Now you are under a curse. And driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you walk the ground, it will no longer yield its crop for you. Give back to curses. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. A lot of people are wanderers because they've damaged people's character. Because they have misrepresented people, they become wanderers. When you leave one church, you go to another church. You go to another church, become a butterfly that is going on all the flowers. You won't rest on one to enjoy the best of the best. You become wanderer. May God not put us in that position. Ah, I used to know you in this church. I won't mention our church because such people are not here. I used to know you in this church. Go there, terrible things happen. You begin to destroy God's work again. Then you become, in that place, they know you, they run for you. Because by their fruits, we know them. Then you become another one that they are not good enough. Every church is not good. All because you have been driven by a particular or several foxes. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is more than I can bear. May that not be your portion.
Amen.
There are sometimes the pastor will pray for you. Elders will pray for you. Friends will pray for you. People around will pray for you. It's not working. Things are not working well for you. Have you ever sat down and said, God, I want to face this and go and ask why? Because the punishment that you are receiving because of your lifestyle is more than you can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. A lot of people think they are in God's presence, but because of the fox that is moving you all around, you have been driven out of God's presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. But the Lord said to him, not so. What a merciful God we serve. If anyone kills Cain, he will suffer vengeance seven times over. God is still protective of his own. He will neither leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
He said he has us right in his palm. He's always watching over us. He's sleepless because of you.
Yes, Lord.
Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. Still protective of his own child. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. When you read about Cain that we are talking about, you know, God still made him to have children. He's merciful. What am I saying tonight? If we don't kill these foxes, they end up doing what? Killing us. The foxes that destroy our lives, let us kill them. The foxes that destroy our friendship, let us kill them. The foxes that destroy our marriages, let us kill them. Is it not what I said to us? A romantic relationship now end up with killing foxes. Because if we don't kill them, when you are, is it courting, they say, or courting a man or a woman, and the man or woman is stingy, and you know, I say, he will change. Or the man is cheating on you, or the woman, he will change. You will think he will change. When you now get to the real thing, it's not changing because they have not killed the foxes of all these foxes I've mentioned to you. If the man is envious, there is no way we change. Point it out in courtship. If it works, it works. If it doesn't work, hey, I'm getting too late. Hey, I want to just get one person. And you just get one silly person. And you are silling around with that person. May the Lord help us.
Amen.
Destroy the foxes that kills your relationship before and after marriage. Destroy the foxes at your places of work. Oh, how was your weekend? Terrible. The man was terrible. And you are listening to such a person that has been bombarded with fox, your life will be terrible. Start of the week. How do you see the... at least we rest from this manager. A little bit of rest. Foxes are creating trouble. Then manager's topic will come in. We start to gossip. We have to kill them. Foxes in our community. You belong to a community, and then your community, they know you. Thank God for village headmaster. I'm able. Those of you watch it. That play, in those days, we used to be one. When you start to hear, I don't know their sound. Everybody run to go and watch, because we want to watch Amebo, how he's going to gossip to the other neighbor. Go and Google it. Village headmaster, they call it. Because in the village, there's a lot of gossip in the village. Gossip, a friend, they destroy your friendship in the church. Everybody's your enemy in the church. You can't cope. The man of God came visiting me and said to me, everybody's all around you. Even when the man will pray, the husband will pray, after we finish, he said, thank God for this Acts of the Apostles Church. We didn't say that to him. He saw the fellowshipping. He saw the way everybody was interacting. And ending his prayer, we know, immediately we got the answer that we are a church that is standing upon the rock, Jesus Christ. All this through our character and lifestyle. If we don't destroy them, they will destroy us. If we not kill them, that is the foxes, they might end up. I keep on repeating it in my lecture, they will end up killing us. This is the main reason why our society is going down the drain. A lot of foxes. Foxes of fornication, when you are not married. Foxes of adultery, when you are married and you are cheating on your husband or you are cheating on your wife. We don't kill these foxes, they end up killing us. And this is what is happening in our society today, making our society to get to the drain. A secretary dating, a director dating their secretary, and the woman is at home. Where do you put that? Destroying our community today. Things getting worse and worse, and things falling apart, and center cannot hold. May we continue to pray against all these foxes. It shall be well with us.
Amen.
Another foxes, giving. I'm going to use to end up today. When you read the book of Exodus 35 and 36, you can see these foxes of giving. And I just quickly, but I give you that as homework. But let's quickly go to Exodus 25. Exodus 25, giving. Because I'm talking to the church. Sometimes you don't give properly. What I mean is that you don't give according to the Bible measure. You just do it your own style. At least God sees my heart, and that's what I can do. And then you are lying again. Fox of lying comes upon you. You earn your salary by the time to take that tithe is something. I say, you younger ones that are coming up. I said, one of the main fox is parental foxes. When you don't teach your children from beginning to give tithe, they eat their tithe, they do everything. So when they go to, I say, don't bother yourself, we have need in this house. Your dad has not put that money. So what is the tithe and offering? If you do any work, you must give your tithe. Parental upbringing, you must teach your children to give. Show me a mother. I will tell you that mother that lay good eggs. They say beautiful chicken or whatever chicken, lay good eggs. Show me a mother, I'll show you. Mothers that lay good eggs. Exodus 25, crowns both Exodus 35 and 36. He said, the Lord said to Moses, like I put Moses there, your own Moses are your ministers or the pastors that are overseer in your churches. He said, tell the Israelite to bring me an offering. And this is what God is saying to the church. We must give. God demonstrated giving when he gave his only begotten son to go and die for your sin and for my sin. That's why we are alive today. That's why we are flowing in good balance today, because God did it first. And now he's instructing Moses, a leader. He said, tell the Israelite to bring me an offering. You are to receive the offering for me from each man. Look at that word, identifying each man whose heart prompt him to give. Do your heart prompt you to give? We read this, these are always with us. Do your heart prompt you to give? Or you just give at your own leisure? If, you see, show me, before you earn £1,000, God would have tried you with £10. God would have tried you with £5. God would have tried you with £1. Because even if you have £1, to give 1p or 10 pence might be difficult sometimes. One of the things I want to begin to do now, the younger ones in the church, I don't look at this before, but as I'm speaking now, God is putting that in my heart. We want to begin to see so that we know that We are really teaching you. We know that you are really hearkening to what we are teaching you. To give, even when they are working to bring money, to give is difficult. I was in church one day, and we are having youth convention. And one of the leaders of the youth came. If it's just one pound, you can give. If it's just this, why don't you don't just? Because God didn't just give you life. Thank God I was there when they mentioned it. One pound. When some of you younger ones, what is this hair that they call? Brazilian hair. When they told me how much they use for that hair, I was like, and you come here and say one pound? When these people are doing Brazilian hair, you know what? It's a lot of money. Something from 80 pounds, isn't it? 300 pounds there. So where do they get that one? They go to steal it? And in that came to even as you she was so, if it's one pound, I said, no, not here. I'll carry the microphone. Don't you want 1 pound? Is it 1 pound that has kept you from 1 year to this time? Or you don't know the reason why you are doing, a lot of people, you are not women of righteousness, you would have known by now. Why we are celebrating every year? We are coming to Bristol. Is it a joke? We are celebrating life.
Yes.
That you are still alive.
Yes.
To say thank you to God. You don't know that it's something.
Yes.
Some people, their legs is on the machine now.
Thank you.
They want life, they don't have it.
Yes.
You nurses, you have a lot to say. Do you understand what I'm saying? I said, when I look at some of these nurses, they are the most people that sometimes, I always talk into their heads. I said, with what you see in the hospital every day, you don't know how to serve God with fear and trembling. Someone has been in the hospital, he didn't die. We have the testimony that for 16 days he's not eating. 16 days. You ask somebody to come and fast, they tell you they can't fast. 16 days, no water. No, they even put to everything. But she's still alive. 16 days. And you don't know that. You have to give thanks. They didn't pass anything. When I had the testimony, I said, God, you know, I have to kill my foxes now. I said, sometime when they ask us to fast, I'll break 3 o'clock. I said, God, you understand. Confession time. So that if you're in my class, you can confess together. I said, God, understand. No, it's not that I eat and then you understand. But when that hunger just comes, even if it's ordinary pepper soup or soup, you can, you know, the devil will come in. Don't you see? I read to you yesterday how it took Jesus through several temptations. Number one, food. Number two, pride. Jump up and, you know, ego. You know, everybody have it. But we try to kill them. If you don't kill it, they will kill you. You understand? I'm talking of offering. He said this, he said, those, look, underline that word. You know, we read it several times for offering, but it seems you don't understand. You are to receive the offering for me from each man whose heart prompts him to give. Your heart must prompt you to give. There are some ugly gifts or giving that we do in the church. I know I encourage you, for Christ's sake, Tabernacle, we are great givers. Because myself and apostles that God put there, I'm the lizard now. When the lizard falls from the tree and land on the floor, what does he do? Some of you don't know, you don't notice. He nod.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you because I didn't break my bone.
Yes.
I'm there. I can tell you what he's saying. Thank you because I didn't break my bone. So he will nod that yet. So when we do thanksgiving, we are coming to say thank you, not only because you are still alive, because you did not eat bone. How many of you are not eating bone or fish? Or crack a go to a bone or anything. And it didn't go through your tracheal instead of going through the right means. You're able to spit it out. You have teeth to really chew the thing. I thought, you are thanking God for that. You are thanking God, thank God for toothpicks. You are thanking God for when you pick those things, they are not getting rotten there. There are some people they can't pick, it gets rotten. And when they are talking to you, it's a serious matter. It's even more than poo. If you allow me to use that word. You didn't thank God that you have that hand to do all these things. Some people, these are the things you are thanking God for. Some of you don't know. Let me better tell you. And how do you then thank God? We don't want to go to the streets and say we are thanking God and messing up there. We want to come in the presence of holy people and sacrificially give out of the abundance that God has given to us. He said, now don't just receive gift from everybody. Because there are some people that their hearts are not prompt to give in. There are some people when it's giving time, their faces are ugly, their body is ugly, their attitude is different. Jehovah sees. Jehovah knows. I can picture Jesus when he was watching everybody giving in the temple. Only one that his giving was accepted. May we be that one in the name of Jesus. These are the offerings you are to receive from them. Look at the way I arrange it. When I read this scripture, again and again, say gold. You know what gold represents. When a runner runs a race and you are at the top, they give you what? When you come second, they give you what?
Silver.
When you get third, they give you what?
Bronze.
So they are here. You know your position now. When you give a gold type of offering, when Jesus comes to reward its servants, whether it be noon or night, faithful to him, will he find us watching? Oh, can we say we are ready? Brethren, ready for the soul, bride home. Say, will he find you and me still giving or watching?
Watching,
watching when the Lord shall come. Blessed are those whom the Lord found watching. In his presence they shall share. Whether it be the noon or morning, will he find you watching there? How can we say we are ready, brethren, ready for that soul bride home? Say, will he find you and me still watching? Watching, I put there running the race well. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He will find me watching. That crown of gold is mine. I don't know about you. That crown of gold is mine. I will not go for silver. I will not go for bronze. Even though they are nice, I will not go for those ones. Silver and bronze are those people that narrowly escape and enter heaven. There are some, Corinthians said it, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, when they now weigh your work, they burn it with fire. Some people, it will not turn gold. Like the goldsmith, do all this work. May your giving bring you forward in the things
Amen.
Of God. Now he began to say to them, these are the offerings you are to receive from them. Gold, silver, bronze. He's not talking about you working in the church. These are part of the things that will be weighed. But how you personally release to give. These are the offerings you are to receive from them. Gold, silver, and bronze. Blue, these are now king's colors, heavenly colors. Thank God for Christ's tabernacle, we have all these glorious colors. Blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, goat hair, ram skin, dyed red and hides of sea cows. Asia wood, these are precious. That's why when you come to Christ, straight up, and I come to CFT, and I know you brand churches here are taking lead. When God give you your church in Bristol, I will begin to see all these things.
Amen.
How people will sacrificially not give their money. That's why sometimes sacrificially look at something and say, okay, this will be very, no, you know, when the church just starts like that, you come, you don't just go and buy it. Because you might have had it, we will go and buy, this clock is good, you know. Maybe some people are giving clocks, so we have almost about 50. We only give it to people that are in need of a wall clock in the church. So talk with the administrators or the people that administer things like that. And if it's a money kind, you can bring your own because you have so many clock. So go and use it and divert it to some other things as the administrator decide to do in the church. You know, when I read the scripture, as the general overseer's wife or as the assistant general overseer of this church, It creates something to come and see, how can we make this church, even the tabernacle itself, beautiful? Bring something inside me. That's why I see some of the things that are there. Somebody came, ordinary, some of you that are coming to church. Ordinary, you came to church, they were taking pictures of those flowers. They said, this is just what we want to come and take. They took permission. Thank God that they are not taking it and just, you know, deception. They just told me, we want to take some picture of this because we want to go and use it in our church. I said, that's good. I like things like that. Admiring good things. Olive oil for the light. You see, some of this money, we don't need to buy olive oil now. We buy olive oil for anointing, but how many olive oil? But for the light, we pay light bills in the church. So if you give your offering properly, if you give your missionary offering and everything, the church will know how to put all these things well. Don't just come to the church. The church is hoovered. We employ people to clean it, and they are paying for them. Thank God for people that come and do their own job, but we still organize it as an office. Olive oil for the lights, spices, for anointing oil, and for fragrant incense. An onyx stone and other gem to be mounted on the ephod and breastplate piece. These are the priests or what they used to dress. Then have them make a sanctuary for me. Have them make a sanctuary. Your body is that sanctuary. Amen? Amen. The sanctuary of the Lord is that sanctuary. That's why, you know, I saw, let me tell you this, I saw yesterday, somebody, children, playing on this, even when nobody's playing on it, no child has the right to be there. And parents will be looking at them, going to disturb the altar of God. God is still there as long as we're here. It must not happen. No child should come and just say, and you mother, you are sitting down there. May the Lord help you. Because we hear this several times. You don't, Pastor, because I'm in your church here, you don't shy away from it. You must teach it all the time. At your altar, oh God, when you listen to that, my message, you will know how to reverence God in the sanctuary. Psalm 84. He said, the swallow and the sparrow. He said, they know where to lay their eggs. At your altar, oh Lord. They will come. They don't go anywhere in the church. When they fly into the church, David must have really watched. And watch very well. When they fly into the church, they don't go anywhere. They go straight to the altar. Because at the altar, you see gold, you see this. You thank God we are in the days of silver now. Black and silver. But in those days, it's gold. All these things that they said they should bring, they used to decorate the altar. So those things, when the birds come and they fly, they won't just lay their egg anywhere. How many mothers will go and give birth in the gutter outside there, where you are not mad? Or you go and give birth on the road. When you want to give birth, you go to the appropriate place, go to the hospital. When these birds come in to lay their burden, to lay their eggs, which is a burden that they carry, they lay it at the altar. They look for a nice, beautiful place. That's why you see our altar is so beautiful. Any bird want to fly in, and we have flower birds where they can fly and lay eggs. What does that say to you and me? Where you go and relax and bring your burden to God. When these birds lay their eggs, they cover it properly with all those beautiful things. They believe that when it flies, are going to fly out with Holy Ghost and fire. So when you go to the altar to lay, that's why nobody comes to the altar to play anyhow. You know, I'm still talking on, then have them make a sanctuary. We must make a sanctuary in our homes. We must make sanctuary in the church. Your sanctuary should be at the altar. The altar where you go, kneel down. That's why you see me and my children. Anytime, when I was still raising children up, which has been their own lifestyle now, I can go to the altar and hide a letter of employment there. Lord, throughout the time I'm going to be in this employment, just when the man of God comes, it's part of it that he's going to finish down because I put it at the altar. Carry my children. Not that God doesn't answer my prayer, but I believe that altar is a serious matter. Every year, when the year runs to an end, we go to the altar, carry all my children. Even if they are married, they've gone, we'll still be going to the altar and make them to realize it. You must not be ashamed of the altar. The year is coming. We are going to lay our burden there. God carries us on wings like eagles. I've repeated it today and today. Exodus 19 is there. When the children of Israel were going through their wilderness experience and everything, he carried them on wings like eagles so that they would not fall. You know the eagle, when he's flying, someone has said this story, I've not been able to go and find out. He children up and again go and catch them again. That's how God carries us. And in our temptation, he will allow us to, so that we can know how to fly back to him. Psalm 91, 2 said, he covered us with his feathers. Under his wings, we take refuge. Those of you that follows my Bible teaching. He covers us. You will read only that Psalm 91. Angels, he said, there are some hidden things here. He covers us with his feathers. And under his wings, we take refuge. If you move out of that cover, look like a mother chick. Any child that moved out of that cover, the hawk or whatever, those birds that fly, they can pick it. But when that woman covers you there, that big fat head, wow. There is no way. So a lot of mothers are so careless about your children. God is not careless about you. Say to your neighbor, God is not careless about you. Amen. That's God that we serve. He covers us with his feathers. He gives us warmth under his feathers. Under his wings, under his feathers, we have protection. That's why he's covering us. Cold will not catch you. Either snow, bad weather, turbulence, anything, God is covering you. Say to your neighbor, God is covering me. I'm safe. I'm safe. I'm just hearing God say to me now, I say, he's covering you. What? God, you are covering me. Thank you. How about you say thank you to God? You have all right to thank God. He's covering you under his feathers. That's why I go back. Then have them make a sanctuary. In your home, you must have a sanctuary. In the church, you must have a sanctuary. Your sanctuary is the altar of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Sanctuary, sanctuary, sanctuary. Where you go and carry every burden. He said, then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. When you make a sanctuary for God, God will never forget his own. Once you make that sanctuary for him, he will never forget you as his own. He said, make this tabernacle, and all is flourishing exactly like the pattern I will show you. When you begin to read from that verse 10, now, start to mention them, how you are going to do it. How you are going to... That's why... You know, my home is a sanctuary. A lot of you are so careless with your home. This is to the glory of God. I have... My dining curtain has been there for over 23 or 24 years. It's still there. Not paying nobody. The best of the best is what you should give to your homes. Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The curtain still stands. The swag. When I read Bible, I won't know how to put my home as sanctuary when I come. That's why I don't go everywhere. I stay in my home and I'm happy because I put the best of the best in my house. Ah, you know, I invite us. You know, I'm not inviting nobody. I'm still enjoying my house. Are you listening to me? Because if you come, there is, if you, those chairs, if you sit on it, I'm watching you. Are you listening to me? You don't just sit. Make your home. Then when God comes, is he going to sit on this kind of chair? You go according to your level. Depend if your chair is this what you can afford, make it sanctuary in your home. Put nice pillows and make them beautiful. God will sit down there. But when you don't make your home sanctuary, your home is always curse, curse, curse. Your home, husband and wife, fight, 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 fight. I'm still talking about offering, you know. I'm not deviating. But God wants you to catch some point here.
Yeah.
These are some of the offerings that you give to God. Making your home sanctuary. The enter your house is not smelling of bono soup. For those of you that like to fry dodo, it's not smelling dodo. You even carry that dodo, fry plantain, it's smelling on your coat. Because your coat rack is very close to the kitchen. Don't know, you don't make your home sanctuary. Still talking about sanctuary. You rush to the prayer meeting, is somebody cooking? I'm selling dodo, I'm selling dodo, I'm selling dodo. You are the dodo. When you make your home sanctuary, everything is perfumed. All those plug-in, you can afford to, even instead of eating fish and chips, You can afford one plug-in, £4 something. And put it there. They last for about 2.5 months or 90 days. They put on some. Make your home a sanctuary. Sometimes when I dirty my home, I feel unhappy. And coming into my bedroom is not assy. Oh my God. I just manage it. Make your home a sanctuary. Your bed, can Jesus lay on your bed? That bed sheet, you have not washed it for 1 month. Minimum 2 weeks, you should wash bed sheet. Beddings. You should put them away. Make it sanctuary. When you get to the hotel now, we told somebody that stayed in the hotel. When you get to the hotel, don't you see the way they... You paid for the money. The Lord will bless you. Amen. So thank God, if we have a washing machine, we wash with hands in those days. Yet we make our own sanctuary. Will Jesus sleep on your bed? When you leave this, let that be making your home a sanctuary. That is part of the giving. And when you have bad dreams, they say, the demon is talking. No, there's no demon. You are the demon. Because you didn't put your home. You only make your home a sanctuary. Even this, as I'm talking, make your home a sanctuary. It's going to be a lecture. Are you listening to me? Write it down, Pastor Nick, so I can remind me. I don't forget. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishing exactly like the pattern I will show you. If I were you, I would go and ask God, show me this pattern. You read this? These are in the olden days. No, the pattern of now, show me. That's how you make your body, your tabernacle, the temple. It's furnishing. Your makeup. Apostle was telling you about it. Furnishing. All this, when you want to wear, all this color. All some of your young ones are joining them. Moderate. That's what the Bible says. Make your home sanctuary, the furnishing. All your makeup. Don't overdo it. Exactly like the pattern I will show you. Tell God to show you the pattern that he wants your life to be. That's supposed to be example anywhere that we go. Ask yourself that question. Are you an example? Rounding up with this offering that I've been talking about. Give the best of the best to the Lord. Don't be greedy. Money is something of all evil. Get that in the Bible. Make your home a sanctuary. Kill all the foxes of greed. Kill all the foxes of envy. Kill all these parental foxes. There is no time for tonight. I'll find time to teach it tomorrow by His grace.
Amen.
Stand on that parental upbringing and give you from the scripture. What you don't want your children to be, you don't do. What you do, your children will be. Don't you see, Sister A's children? They are very smart. But when you were dressing them from small, they wore torn jeans. So how do you want to do them? They are smart. They are smart when you were raising them. You don't give them enough money. You don't buy things for them. Me, me, me attitude, self-centeredness is part of the foxes you have to kill. I was talking about my mom today. I will continue to talk about my mom. My mom gives me the best of the best. She will tell me, sugar daddy, all you that are girls, if I don't do this to you, you go and follow sugar daddy. I don't want you to follow. It's what I don't want that I don't have. It's not because of pride. Used to be in the boarding school. When I'm going to boarding school, come and see how my mom is going to load me. When other people that, in quotes, they are rich, they bring only 4 tins of milk. You know those small, what do Nigeria call their own again? Pig milk. They are small like this. People bring 4 or 6. I'm bringing carton of 48. So I can give to other people. I can't finish it. Even though they will steal it there. Even with my key in the boarding school. And you people know geisha? That's sardine. All this rest of this. I have about 12 geisha. Because sometimes when the food is not getting correct in that dining, we put the geisha and mix some other things. I have a small stove. I have stove that you probably put kerosene. My mom bought it for me so that in case you are hungry, because this last time that you went, you were so lean. You are too lean. Mom bought me tonic. I used to be baby size 6 because I went beautifully plump from home. By the time I came back, every morning they wake us to do running. After the running, we wake up at about 4:30 in boarding school. Then you wake by 5. You are in the prayer room. That's why you see me, I love to pray now. Thank God, I'm supposed to pray more than me, but thank God. In the prayer room, we pray. 5:30, we are running to the field. And by 6 o'clock, we have taken our pail to go to the river. Thank God for tap. We don't have tap. We go to the river. The river is so cold. They call it airy in their dialect today. We go to the river. You carry all your clothes up. When you first of all test with your two legs to see the water, whether you transmit hotness into that water before you start to go. Then the drinking water, you have to walk inside the real river. Or stream, they call it. Then you put your hand, all those leaves that. Teach me, I tell you. Then you fetch that pail. You know the name, the size of the bucket, size 32. You submit to the dining room. And you have to take 34 pail. And then this paint, thank God for paint people. You carry that one, double decker. You put that one, two stick. Have you seen stress? Some of you are not stressed. You say you are stressed here. But we survived it. Amen. We came first class. We came with good aggregate. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? May the Lord help us. Amen. So my mom gave me the best of the best. And I took everything I need. That's why if I show you pictures, Pastor Fumi said, don't even show this one. This is your shoe. I'm on it. It's velvet. I know. I'm just wearing it because my mom looked after me. And my mom said, a giver's hand is always on top. You must not be stingy. So can I encourage you tonight, your giving attitude to God? You must not think twice before you give to God. Do you know that? Go and read Matthew 25. I don't want to go into that now. Matthew 25 taught us about giving to God. When you give to fellow human beings, you are still giving. When you give to friends and family, you are still giving. When you make provision for people, you are still giving. When you look after one another, you are still giving. Are you listening to what I'm saying? When you come to church to sacrificially give to God, I'm talking of giving with favor. Giving that when God looks, you have favor. I was telling somebody, it's not because I'm pastor's wife that I'm receiving from people. You see now, I've been doing shopping for my Christmas gifts. Some of you will wait until maybe 1st of December or some few days. That's not yet. No. Thank God that God gave me people that I will send when they are. I've been doing shopping because I know the old church is big. I'm not the pastor's wife that born to wait and receive from you. No. I've been wrapping for key Christmas gifts now. And occasionally when you travel or anything, bring gifts. Not everybody, but give to a few people. Mommy, what am I doing that you give me something? You don't have to do anything. And I just tell those of you that are in green room with me, what you see me do to others. That's why God has brought you here to me. Your giving attitude from today, you must know that giving, not giving, is a fox. Self-centeredness is a fox. You must think of other people before you leave home. Okay. Your giving must be, it's not something that you, only when they say give to in the church that you give, no. Want us to have our head bowed and our eyes closed. Thinking of time, I can go on and on. We have looked at greed that has caused someone to murder. We have looked at giving attitude. Our God said we should bring the best of the best. He said, tell people that their heart is prepared. On Sunday, if you did not prepare your heart to come and give, that you are only waiting until they come and announce. Sometimes the people say, everybody should just give what they have as they go out of the church. Opportunity for you not to give at all. But do you know that from tonight, or like from Monday, that you started the new week, you must be thinking of what you're going to give. You must be thinking of what you want to give to fellow men. You must be thinking of what to give to one another in the church, in various kinds. Begin to talk to God. Lord, help my giving attitude. Reshape my life in this area. If you know that area is your area, you need to kill this fox before we leave this place tonight. Lord, help us. Lord, help me. As I minister to that tonight, everything that needs reshaping in my life, that have become a fox, that have been battling with me. Lord, I pray, I pour my heart before your altar tonight. At your altar, oh God, this has been a burden. I didn't have time to talk about sickness tonight. But tell the Lord if yours is sickness. Fibroid, they are foxes. Because they didn't give birth to fibroid when you were born. It just came attached. It's one of those things that get attached with you. Tell the Lord about this fox. Menstrual pains is a fox. Speak to God because I'm talking to women. Begin to count all these costs. All these things that have become foxes in your life. Your life. High blood pressure is not part of your life. Speak to God. There must be no high blood pressure. Diabetes, they are foxes. They have come to occupy this beautiful body that God has given to you. Begin to mention it to God. Tell the Lord about these foxes. You have to, I pull you out. By the blood of the Lamb, I pull you out. Jesus came for this purpose. He came so that we can have life, an abundant life. He didn't give you sickness. Begin to pull them out. If yours is sickness, illness. When Jesus was on earth, he visited Peter's mother-in-law. And he spoke to her life. She regained her strength and fever. They mentioned a fever left her. You want to tell the Lord tonight, what is that thing that has become a fox in your life? We are pulling it today. It's a stronghold. I sat there in the afternoon and God was telling me. The song was just repeatedly coming. I was in the bathroom pulling down strongholds. In the name of Jesus, we're pulling down strongholds in the name of the Lord. And I keep on singing repeatedly. I called Apostle. I said, come. I think I have to tell Pastor Nika to put it in the convention. Pulling down strongholds is one of the songs that we sing in our convention in London. We have to pull down these strongholds that have become foxes in our lives. And I said, I'm going to phone her. There are ways that God speaks to us. I started from me when I sang that song. All strongholds in my life because God wants to do something. He's doing something in my life at that time that he put his song because he will not go. I want it to go because which stronghold am I pulling? But I then joined the chorus. I didn't sing it out, but I sang it till I came into this meeting. All the strongholds, God has to pull them down. Strongholds in Bristol Church, pull down in the name of Jesus. The weapons we have is a weapon of God. Some may trust in horses, some may trust in chariots. I don't know how you want to pull down your strongholds. Begin to tell the Lord, every stronghold in my life, pull down in Jesus' name. Every stronghold in the life of your people, pull down in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you because while we are yet speaking, you have answered. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' mighty name we worship.
Amen.
It seems you have not prayed.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name we worship.
Amen.
Hallelujah.